so good to be here to see old friends and one or two new friends. By God's grace and appointment, I'm here. And my time is until tonight. 10 o'clock, I fly home. It's been almost 15 years since I first became associated with this church movement. And through the years, I've watched the ups and downs of this church, how we purchased this building, and how various changes were made to it in order to make it usable. So tonight will be probably my last sermon with you for some time, because to everything there is a season and a time, and the times of my coming here 2 or 3 times a year and staying a long time is no more. I brought for you with me from Singapore, firstly, this little booklet. Have you all received it? No? Anyone who hasn't received it? I want to introduce this to you so that you will not neglect to use it. When I was first introduced to this booklet, when I was a medical student in 1947, by that time about 16 million of it had been printed and sold. It is such a good book. I have printed so far 26,000. And they have almost all gone, 3 printings. What's so wonderful about this booklet? Written by a businessman in New Zealand called Robert Laidlaw. He started a business, and his concern was that the employees know the Lord Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge of the gospel. So as he went around, his business grew until he had 2,700 staff. How to do it? Go around the whole day. He wouldn't finish the job. So he wrote this. Let me take you to the first lesson so that you will know this is something quite unusual. Page 1. The reason why. Supposing a young man were to give to his fiancée a beautiful diamond ring costing $10,000, and naturally the jeweler will throw in a little box with it. Days afterwards, when they meet, she says, "Oh, darling, thank you for that beautiful box." Oh, something's wrong here. And she goes on and says, "I will look after the box very well. Take good care of it, etc." You say, that's a funny story, a silly story. So it is. And do you not think many of us are so silly and so funny? We go through life looking after our bodies and neglecting our soul. Even as this young lady, of course it is fiction, but it is to drive home a point. That the real you and me is the soul inside. And what you see of me, or what I see of you, is but the covering, the case. And yet, so many of us focus all our attention on the body and neglect the soul. That is the moral of this story. Now turn to the center page, page 33 and 34. Right? While the gospel is available to all, not all take this gospel to heart. There is a great famine. This may have been the Great Depression of the 30s, when most of you were not born. There was the aftermath of the First World War, you know. And many countries were hit, and there was famine. Now the government in the particular city, in the municipality, provides food kitchens, free to all, advertise, come and partake of good food, provided by the government, and you meet someone who is truly very hungry and starved, and you say to him, "Hey, what's the matter with you? Don't you know there's a lot of food in the municipal kitchens?" He says, "Of course I know, but that's only the good news, but I don't go to those places." Why not? Aren't you hungry? So this is the moral of this second story. The gospel is available everywhere, free of charge, to hungering souls, starving for lack of the word of God, and say, "Why don't you receive the gospel?" Well, I'm not sure. Available to all, but not all receive it. We are here as a church to endeavor to reach some needy soul. We do not know whom, but we are to cast the net. And hopefully some will come to hear the gospel, because here is a place where there is food for the hungering and the thirsting, that their souls may be nourished. Amen. So do use this as we consider, ready for the Lord's return. How can you be ready? One of the ways is this. Please read it through, study it, so that you know the various little stories inside here, and pray that the Lord will send you somewhere, to someone, to give up this. And when you finish, we have a stock here, enough for everyone to bring in many, many souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please read it, and God bless you. Now, the second thing I brought here was this little songbook. Again, I believe you all have received one each. As I was thinking and preparing to come, I thought, well, you all have a lot of songs and hymns, but here are a few that are not well known. Some are new, some I've written. For two of these, if you would kindly take a pen sometime and write on page hymn number 6, after my name, put in brackets, is adapted. I've used another hymn and changed the words so that you will not get the idea that I'm guilty of plagiarism, that is stealing other people's work. Number 6 is one, and there's another one also, number 3. Number 3 and number 6, if you can kindly just write after my name, is adapted by me. All right. Now this little songbook is to leave behind with you as a souvenir, reminder of my visit. When will I come again? I have no idea, but the Lord knows. Now we are going to sing one song, which is the theme of today's message. Maybe today. As the passage we have read said, no one knows the day. But if you are expecting the Lord Jesus to return, and are you? Let me ask you a very simple and pointed question. Are you truly expecting that He can return any time? This song was written by Frank Garlock, America. And it is a very useful, a very pertinent song for us to sing. Number 4, maybe today, my Lord will come. Maybe soon, could be morning, night or noon. Till then I'll watch and work and pray, that's right. We don't sit and do nothing. We have to work, we have to go out and be couriers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing better for any believer to do than to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? Ask yourself this morning. If you truly believe Jesus is coming, be active, be busy, go for Him, because it may be today. That is the only attitude for a true believer to have. That is, maybe today. In the morning, you ask yourself, waking up, the Lord has given me another day. Maybe today, what must I do with my life? How must I live my life? Then you get focused. At night, before you retire, as you pray to the Lord, say, "Lord, if it is tonight, maybe tonight, while I'm sleeping, when you come, I'll be transported to heaven. Amazing. Right. The chorus, maybe today the Lord will come. Maybe today, my Savior, I shall see. Do you have that anticipation? Welcome, friends. Welcome. Come, take a seat. Maybe today, my Savior, I shall see. We are on hymn number 4. Have you found it? Number 4? Yes? Fine. So, let's read stanza 2. The Lord will come. Is not may come, but it is a certainty. Why? Because he has said so. And even after his ascension, he speaks from heaven, behold, I come quickly. Surely I come. Are you sure? Make very sure. I know not when, but this is sure. He'll come again. With eager eyes I look for him. In his presence new joy will begin. Maybe today, stanza 3, we'll sing his praise forevermore when we have entered heaven's door, redeemed from all our sin and strife. There we'll know perfect love, endless life. Hear the music, we'll sing this seated. Everybody singing stanza 1. My Lord will come, it may be soon, it could be more. From sin I shall be free, Jesus will come and I will go home, and maybe today. Thank you, thank you. Please take this home. Keep it, sing it. God bless. Now let's turn to another book of the Gospel, Hebrews chapter 12. As we think, meditate, and consider this very wonderful topic, the Lord's coming. Hebrews chapter 12. These words of Holy Scripture, may they speak to all of us as I read. Wherefore, alright, this is verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. I let everybody find the place. Alright? Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may thou open our understanding, that we may understand and appreciate the lesson from this passage of Scripture given to us by thy inspired servant. As we run this heavenly race, Lord, we need thy help and encouragement and thy exhortation. For oftentimes the race is difficult, the days are long, and we be discouraged. So we need evermore thy help, thy strength, and thy encouragement as we run this race. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 12 of Hebrews follows chapter 11. And the first verse is harking back on what has been written in chapter 11. So we have to refer back to some of the things in chapter 11. Wherefore, meaning to say, we have considered the things spoken of in chapter 11. That famous chapter of faith. What is faith? Faith, very simply defined, is just simply believing what God says to you. That's it. Alright? Wherefore, because we have considered in chapter 11 that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here we are as a small group. Sometimes we are discouraged. I'm told, yes, this church doesn't have too many people. And people like to see big crowds and feel happy that we are in the majority. Why are we so few? Do not be discouraged, dear friends. This first verse is for us all. When you feel lonely, when you feel so few, discouraged, see what it says. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? These are those who have run the same race as we are running today and have successfully completed the race and have received the prize right now where they are in the heavenly place. Right? They've entered into the target, into the home that God has prepared for all who run the race successfully. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It is so easy living in modern society, seeing the world go by, and we say, wow, we're missing on the things that matter. Everybody is getting on except we. Are you sometimes discouraged? The writer of this passage says, no. Look, there are great numbers of those who have gone before us and named are here some of these great heroes of the faith. Let's look back to chapter 11. The first is in verse 4. If you're discouraged, think of Abel. Wow! He was murdered by his elder brother, wasn't he? Then what has he got to encourage us about? Well, Abel believed God. Yes. By faith, Abel. You read it again differently. Alright, I read for you. Abel believed God. Yeah, that's what it says. So I say every day when you run this heavenly race, believe what God says to you. How can you believe? How can you know what God is saying to you? You can know only if you read the Word of God regularly and then listen to the Holy Spirit, even as Abel did. Right? Abel believed God. What did he believe? The Lord showed him, told him, the sacrifice, the only sacrifice that pleases God is by blood. By the blood of the Lamb, signifying the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did so. Now you read again. By faith, Abel, believing God's command, offered unto God the excellent sacrifice, by which his brother failed the test. Brother didn't believe what God said. He won't run the race. So he got very angry, very jealous, very murderous in his heart, and he killed his younger brother. But Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. That's all we want, dear friends, in our race of life. Our objective is that we must be righteous with God, accepted of God, because the end point is we must arrive home with our Lord Jesus Christ, acceptable, righteous are we, for there is the reward. The final reward is of your Christian life is to receive and to arrive home at the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reward for all of us. Second person, Enoch. We considered Enoch the other day. By faith, again, Enoch, believing God, walked with God. This is what he did. Enoch believed God and walked with God, and God said, he is righteous, and God received him. To prove to those around him that this earth is not our destination. All of us today, dear friends, as we consider the Lord's coming, remind ourselves daily, planet earth is not our home. We are just sojourners and pilgrims, and we are all in this race. You haven't come into Jesus Christ's family. You are running that race on a different level. You know where you are going. You know what you are doing. You have the objective, the target. Jesus Christ is my objective. You run that race. Enoch ran that race. And God demonstrated in the life of one man that earth is not the destination, but heaven is. Do you know that? Do you live as it is? You call yourself a Christian, but are you sure of your faith, of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you obeying the Lord every day, doing what He wants you to do, believing His word? Enoch did. And God took him. The word of God says, Enoch walked with God and was not. Meaning to say, he's disappeared one day. His neighbors got up one day and said, Enoch is missing. Where is he? Just disappeared. But the word of God tells us that God translated him. Where does it say here? Verse 5. Because God had translated him. What do you mean by translate? Changed him. Transformed him. Took him. Now, dearly beloved, if you're a Christian, this must be your hope all the time, every day. As you serve Him, as you run the race, remember, our target destination is heaven, and our prize is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day God will do exactly what He did to Enoch, to you and to me. When the Lord comes, we shall be transformed. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed and we will be taken up with Him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? This same chapter, if you look at verse 6, alright? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you live your life with faith in God? This is the whole theme of this morning's sermon is believe God and do what He tells you to do, running this heavenly race until we arrive home, until we receive the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prize. He's coming for you, but you must run the race to Him. Now the next name is Noah. Yes, we considered Noah yesterday. Who is Noah? Noah is the one man that God chose in a society where the thoughts and intents and imaginations of the heart of man at that time was only evil continually, nothing but evil and violence. And in the midst of that society, God raised one man. Could be you, must be you. One who walks with God, one who believes in God. And Noah believed God, and God came to him. He said, Noah, prepare an ark to the salvation of your house. So, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He pleased God. He believed God. Do you? So the next one, and the last we want to consider here, is Abraham. By faith, Abraham believed. What did he believe? God called him, Abraham, I want you to follow me. How old was Abraham? 75. And he was already a well-established businessman. The word of God says he was very rich. Now, suddenly, you at 75 in the established business is visited by a person called Jesus Christ. And he says, follow me. Abraham believed Jesus. You say, oh, was it Jesus? He says, God. Let me turn you to just one verse and you will be convinced that Jesus appeared to him. John's Gospel, please turn there quickly. John's Gospel, chapter 8. John 8:56. Alright. John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So, dear friends, Abraham believed God when Jesus appeared to him in that land of Ur of the Chaldees. Today is the modern Iraq. That was the fertile crescent or the breadbasket of the Middle East. Very fertile. And when Jesus spoke to him, the Spirit of God worked in him. To know this is God speaking to you. He is going to lead you to something wonderful. Dear friends, as we live our Christian lives, do you have this expectation, this belief, that we are here as a people separate from the world? We have a different destination from what the world has. The world is running the broad way to destruction. Very attractive, very easy to run. No problem, full of fun and full of attractions and pleasures, unlimited. But we are here running the narrow road because God has called us, even as He called Abraham. Always remember this. It is God's call that you become a Christian. It wasn't your own volition. In that sense, you did not willingly yourselves research and found out it is Christianity. But Jesus Christ has come to you even as He came to Abraham and said, follow me. Are you following? Are you running the race? For the end of it is life everlasting. Now let's go back to our chapter 12. We have considered five of these witnesses. All of them have run the race successfully. All of them received their reward. All of them has found the Lord faithful at the end of the road. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, including all those names you have just mentioned, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. This is the way to be ready for the Lord's coming. What is it? Read this again. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a daily watching over the way you live. We cannot follow the crowd, live with the world, do what they do, because everybody is doing it, you do it, and go on. That does not match with your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Here the application is very simple. If you truly are running a race, you never are encumbered with any kind of weight. No athlete is running with a suitcase or anything or any other weight. And this is a very simple illustration. If we are running the heavenly race, you must not be weighed down with the sins of the world. Examine yourself. The topic this
today is, ready for His coming. Are you ready? How can you be ready? Here it is. Do not be weighed down with the sins of the world. Do not live like the world. Do not go with the world. But let us run with patience. It is a long race, a lifelong race, that there is no let up. Continue to run every day with patience the race that is set before us. And besides the witnesses who keep on cheering you, as it were, there is the chief witness, and He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you look to Him? Do you live your life daily with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's something I want to be very personal. You love the Lord Jesus? You know Him as your Savior? Jesus died for you on Calvary's cross in order to open the way to heaven for all of us, a way out of death and destruction forever. This new way, Jesus' way. Are you following Him? If so, look to Him, because He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who calls you to follow. And He's the one who will complete and come and perfect your faith, that you can run the race. So look not to man. Don't say, well, my partner in business is doing these things. I think it's not bad. Or my friend in school. Don't look to them. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the author of your faith. He is the one who gives you the beginning, calls you to follow Him, and He will see to it that you will follow Him successfully to the end. So look to Him always. And He ran a race also, but a different race. We ran a race towards Him, but He was in a race for us, a different race. Where does it say so? Verse 2. For the joy that was set before Him, He ran His race. A race that no one could run. Only Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, and He ran it successfully. Today He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is the joy that was set before Him? What caused Jesus to run the race for us? The joy set before Him is that He could see ahead. When He saw that the successful running of the race for Him was the lives and the souls that would be saved because He runs the race. On the cross, He completed His race, bled His blood, shed His blood for us, that all who believe may be saved. That is the joy. Today we are here because Jesus Christ ran that race. And He saw ahead of time all the thousands and billions that will be saved, including this group here in London, because of the joy of you being saved out of the eternal destruction into the glorious kingdom of God. For that joy He ran the race. For the joy of seeing all the others around the world who will be saved, He ran the race, endured the cross, despised the shame, is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Think of the days of His ministry on earth. How His own people, He came to His own and His own received Him not. How the Pharisees kept on attacking Him. How they betrayed Him, eventually arrested Him and put Him to death. These are the contradictions of sinners against Himself. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. Therefore, let us run on this wonderful race. How are you running? Does the thought of the work of God thrill you? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? How do you check on yourself? Whenever you hear of a gospel outreach, are you thrilled? If you have no no care for the things of God, how can you say you are ready for the Lord's return? When you think of the Lord's day, does it thrill you? Today is the Lord's day. Yes. I'm up every Lord's day, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Why? It is the Lord's day. My Lord rose from the dead on this day. I must come to his house. Does the thought of coming to the house of God thrill you? This is the Lord's house, the appointed place for worship. Does it cause your heart to leap up as you come here? Does the sight of God's people encourage you, give you a certain amount of pleasure and joy to say, ah, we are still running the race together? Does the thought of missions growing elsewhere cause you to leap up with joy? That is a sign. The Lord is coming, I'm ready. I'm also part of his people, part of the missions that he has called to go into the world. When I was 13, I heard the preaching of God's servant, Dr. John Sung. This was 1938. And he challenged us, young people, who among you will like to give his life to serve the Lord? The Lord has given his life for you. Will you give his life for the Lord? The Lord is coming soon. I lift up my hand, and together with a dozen other young people, the Lord prayed for us and laid his hands on us and said, Lord, seal the faith, the vow of these young people that they will never forget. I never forgot. For every day is a day of expectancy. The Lord is coming. You see, oh, that's a long time ago, 70 years ago, and you're still waiting for the Lord. I said, that's it. We do not know the day, but we know that he's coming anytime. And the only way you can be ready for him is to do his work while you can, best you can, whenever you can, wherever you go. So, 1938, I gave my life to the Lord. 68, that is 30 years later, the Lord called me to leave the chair of obstetrics and gynecology in the university. They say, why did you do it? Friends asked me later, did you ever regret it? Because it's so difficult to get up there to that post, and you just threw it away. I say, I gave it for something much, much better, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming King of Kings, the coming Lord of Lords. And from that day till now, 38, 48, 58, 68, never regretted. Every day serving the Lord is better than the day before. The Lord is coming. What are you doing about it? My dear friends, all the signs tell us, as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you see the days of Noah? What are the days of Noah? Evil and violence everywhere. And the days of Lot. What are the days of Lot? When there is total, universal sexual immorality of something you never dreamt of before. So all the signs are there. What are we doing? Ready for his coming depends on you. Depends on me. We are to live for him, to look to him, to listen to him, to love to speak to him, read his word, speak to him every day in our prayers, every day reading the word of God. May God help us as we come to his holy table, that as we remember him, here at this table, the Lord meets with us. Are you ready to meet with him face to face, should he come? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, May your Holy Spirit lead us to the table of remembrance, that we may know our Lord Jesus died, also rose again, also ascended to heaven, now seated at the right hand of God, praying for us, interceding for his people, preparing to come for us, and we on earth are to serve him, ready for his coming any moment, any time. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing.